If you're interested in heaven and hell and everything in between, this devotion 3 of the Bible study, God Loves You and Me, might be quite interesting to you. The theme or the title of this Bible study is God's Love and the Death of Jesus Christ. I'm going to develop the theme by sharing some insights on sin, death, and Jesus Christ. Instead of reading a Bible passage, I am feeling I need to read as many scriptures as possible as I talk about them. I will use 2 translations, the New American Standard and the Good News Translation. O Lord, only You can speak through this devotion to people's hearts and minds, so I ask that that is what You do. Amen, the one true God. Amen. Let's look at sin first. The Bible defines sin as a word, thought, or deed that goes against what God wants. We could say a sinner is someone who disobeys God's laws. Let's look at some specific sin so we can know for sure about sin. God tells us to love one another in His Word. If we aren't being loving to people, it is sin. God wants us to forgive each other as He has forgiven us in Jesus Christ. So if we won't forgive someone, it is sin. These are just 2 of the many things in His Word, God's Word, He asks us to do, or we could say not do. We need to remember God doesn't ask us to do anything He doesn't do Himself in Jesus Christ. Jesus is our example of obedience to God. Some of you might be wondering about that sweet little old lady down the street. Could she possibly sin? Romans 5:12 explains we all sin. Even that sweet little old lady. Romans 5:12 says, sin came into the world through one man. This is Adam. And his sin brought death with it. As a result, death has spread to the whole human race because everyone has sinned. I just want to tell you, now I'm not quite a little old lady yet at 53, but I'm heading that way, and I sin, and I know some sweet little old ladies, and I just want to tell you, they sin. I won't share their sins with you, but they would say to you, they sin. We are all sinners from birth, simply because we are Adam and Eve's relatives. They disobey God, we do too. We could never live up to God's standards since we have a nature within us that just naturally goes against God. It can't and it won't obey Him. Like if you really soul search, you see that in yourself and in others. God had created Adam and Eve to enjoy him, to enjoy each other, to enjoy the world he created for them. They were without sin. God had only one little simple thing for them to not do, to obey him on. What did they do? They looked at that one tree with the one fruit, and they must have thought God was holding out on them, because that one tree with that one fruit must make them like God. And God was holding out on them because he just didn't love them enough. Even though he's given us 100 other fruits to eat from 1,000 other trees, this must be what we need to eat, Adam, because God doesn't love us enough. So they listened to a talking reptile instead of God, who, let me remind you, created them and that snake. We are just like them. We want to do what we want to do, not what God wants us to do. We are all sinners. Maybe some of you are thinking, I don't think I disobey God much, so what's the big deal about sin? Let me do a illustration for you to show you how one sin a week can result in a crime spree against God. Let's say you have only sinned once a week. And let's say the sin you do every week is you're unloving to just one person. I think, though, I really think if we're honest with ourselves, we are unloving to many more people than once a week. Remember, thoughts count as sins. All I can say is I have had some awful thoughts about people, even lately. Glad they stay in my mind. But God hears them, and they are sin. Let's go back to the illustration. If we are unloving to one person a week, times that by a year, 52 sins a year, times that by your age, let's say you're 30, so you have 1,560 sins against God already. Just think when you hit my age. We could say you have committed 1,560 criminal acts against God. That's only sinning once a week. I sin a lot more than once a week, even as a Christian. Remember from Genesis 2, the consequences of one sin is death. So with 1,560 criminal acts against God, the sobering fact is we all deserve the punishment of death. Let me discuss with you what we as sinners deserve from Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. What is this verse saying? It is saying we are earning death every time we sin, like we would earn a salary for working. In other words, we are helpless to deserve anything else but death. What a sad situation. We are working for death. So, God gave us something we did not deserve or earn the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Wow. We didn't deserve eternal life. We were earning eternal death. Let's focus on death now. I know, it's like jumping from the frying pan to the fire, but it's so important that we understand these things because it means life or death to us. Did you realize God did not want the state of death for us? He never wanted death for us, period. We were not created to die, but to live with Him forever. It was us who chose to walk away from God, which resulted in death. Remember, God told Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of what is good, what is evil, or bad. He didn't want sin or its consequences in our lives. Let me tell you a quick story about my Uncle Ott, who didn't understand death because he was an atheist. My old Uncle Ott, I just love that man, been dead for a while now, used to say he was just going to a pine box in the ground, so why be in a hurry? Now, he said this to about everyone, and you ought to see people's faces. They just didn't know what to say to him. He said, I was going to a pine box in the ground. Just go ahead of me in line. I'm in no hurry. It was funny, but not true. We are eternal beings. We either live eternally with God in heaven or are dead to God, which means eternally separated from Him in a place the Bible calls hell. Let me explain our paths after we die by explaining two types of death God's Word talks about. First one, physical death. I don't think anyone will argue with me that everyone dies physically. However, have you ever thought that the effects of dying started the day you were born? Because we all have the genes of sin, we could say, from Adam and Eve. Your body started to deal with the struggles of health even before birth for some of you. As you get older, you see physical death big time in the effects of aging. One wrinkle here, two wrinkles there, and I don't think there's any cream or lotion that stops them. If you know of any cream or lotion, please give me a call that really works. And then you know what I mean. Things start sagging because of gravity. And I'm going to stop there because some men might be listening to this. I'm going to talk a few moments about what specifically happens after we die physically. When we die physically, our body goes to that so-called pine box. My Uncle Ott was right about that. But he just didn't realize our spirit and soul do live on after death, because we are eternal beings. Some of you have asked me, what does spirit and soul mean since they're going to live on? Great question. To be honest with you, it is very hard to tell the difference between spirit and soul in God's word, so I just won't deal with that here. But I think it's pretty obvious the difference between body and spirit. So let's talk about that for a few moments. James 2:26 tells us that it is our spirit that gives us life, because the body, James says, the body without the spirit is dead. Our spirit also is our inner self. In other words, our personality, our thoughts, our emotions, what makes us us. In other words, what makes you you will live on and on and on. Isn't that a neat thought? That we're eternal? That when our loved ones die, when we meet again, they'll be who they are, who we love. Let me try to explain how I think we will be in eternity, at least near the time of our physical death. I mean, eternity is forever, so. But anyway, remember, we will be living with Jesus. We won't be in limbo. We'll be alive with Jesus. That's very clear in Scripture. Our soul and spirit lives on. That's pretty clear in Scripture too. So we will be ourselves. We seem to have memories of our time here on this earth. We also are going to know each other in eternity. I'm going to know my Uncle Ott. You might ask, why is he in heaven? I thought he was an atheist. Well, finally he realized there was a God. And he realized he was a sinner. And then he realized Jesus died for him. I think we will also watch what is happening on this earth, at least some. I'm going to give you some verses that kind of sum up what I have been talking about, how we'll be in eternity. Read when you can Matthew 22:32, Luke 16:19 to the end, 2 Corinthians 5, Hebrews 11 through chapter 12:2, Revelations 6:9-11. And of course, there's more verses talking about eternity and how we will be. But I want to encourage you. You look at Scripture. You believe God's word, not me. Because God's word is his words. My words are my words. That should sober you up to read God's word. Then sometime in eternity, 1 Corinthians 15 tells us our bodies will be resurrected as bodies who are suited to live in heaven with God. In other words, we will get our bodies back. But these bodies will be renewed. Scripture says they will be immortal, imperishable. I like that word, imperishable. Incorruptible. Oh, ladies, especially those of us over 40, we are going to be super women, have super bodies, wonder women. Our new bodies Well, they'll be gorgeous for eternity. Also, I know some of you suffer from awful pain, and you're crippled because of this earthly body, and that one day, no more, ladies, no more, you will be dancing in eternity with Jesus, with this heavenly body. If you have not believed in Jesus, your physical body will go to that pine box too. However, your spirit and soul also lives on. Sometime in eternity, you will get a body that survives forever in hell. Acts 24:15 and Revelations 20. Also other places in Scripture. Spiritual death. A little bit harder for people to understand because we really don't see it per se, but God sees it very clearly. Ephesians 2:1 through 3, wish I had the time, but I don't, to read it, explains the state of spiritual death we are in. But to put it simply, spiritual death means eternal separation from God. Remember, God can have nothing to do with sin because He is holy. So we are separated from Him because of our sin. I want to remind you, we chose to be separated from God. He didn't choose this state. I think this is a good time to clarify what the word death means from God's perspective. It means separation, not extinction, as we would think it means. There again, we are eternal. If you've had a loved one die, they are still alive, not in your plane of living, we could say, but they are alive. There again, spiritual death started at the same time physical death started. And we are all spiritually dead to God because of our sinful nature we are born with. However, we need to remember God didn't want us to be separated from Him, so He Himself did something about it. Jesus took the consequences of our sin upon Himself on the cross. His death opened the door for us to be changed from a state of spiritual death to a state of eternal life with God if we want this. Do you want to be changed from spiritual death to spiritual life? You might be wondering why Christians die if Jesus paid the penalty for our sins, since death is a punishment for sin. To put it simply, we still live in a fallen world that is permeated with the effects of sin. And death is a huge part of the effects of sin in this world. God, in His infinite wisdom, chose to keep physical death even for Christians. And I don't have time to talk about that right now. However, we need to remember this is so important as Christians. To die physically isn't a punishment anymore because, as Paul said In Philippians 1, it is much better for us to die so we will be with Jesus face to face. Someday God will take away the consequences of all sin in this world. 1 Corinthians 15:26 says death will be the last to go, but it will go. Let's look at Jesus Christ. I think the reason why many people believe Jesus was just a very good man or a great moral teacher is because they have not read the Bible with an open mind, or have not read it particularly at all, have just heard other people talk about it. C.S. Lewis explained in his book, Mere Christianity, Jesus didn't leave it open for us to believe he is just a good man or a great moral teacher, because Jesus claimed to be God in the Gospels. I know some of you are struggling probably right now with who Jesus is. But do not try to fit him into a warm, fuzzy title such as moral teacher. You need to call him God because he claimed to be God. Read the Gospels. Or you must think of him as the most evil liar in history, or a very, very dangerous nutcase, because he asks us all to believe in him for eternal life. And if he isn't God, we are doomed to hell for eternity. Did you know Jesus Christ's resurrection proved he is God? Because only God could let go of his life and die and then take it back again. In other words, give himself life again. Only God is the source of life. It is very important that we know who that Jesus is we are believing in. That he is the one true God, not just a God, but the God of the Jewish and Christian scriptures. For only God, who is the creator of all things, including heaven and hell, could pay the penalty that sin required for all mankind, so our sins could be completely taken care of. Then we would not go to hell, but live with him in heaven, if we believe he paid for our sins. You need to understand God didn't create hell for us. Jesus says in Matthew 25:41, depart from me, accused ones, into eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. He never wanted us in hell. Hey, he created us to be his people, to love us, to love on us, we could say. 1 John 4:10 sums up God's feelings about the whole situation with us, heaven and hell, and everything in between. 1 John 4:10 says, this is what love is. It is not that we have loved God. No, we were his enemies. But that he loved us and sent his son Jesus to be the means by which our sins are forgiven and we can go to heaven to be with him. because he loves us so very much. There again, only if we believe in Jesus Christ will we go to heaven and not hell. What really has always surprised me was not that Jesus is God. I have never wrestled with that. I can see why some of you have, though. But that Jesus was willing to become a man, that is what has surprised me. Yes, he is a sinless man, but nevertheless a man. And he did this so he could represent you and me and die in our place. Have you ever thought about how awful it must have been for the God of the universe to step out of eternity to become one of us, to live among us, sinful people? And I think you know what that means. To die by one of the most torturous deaths wicked humans could invent. And if that wasn't enough, God, whose character is completely absent of sin, whose whole being instinctively rebels against it, took our sin upon himself so that he could pay the penalty of what sin requires. He died so we would not have to. 2 Corinthians 5:21 sums this up so beautifully. He, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Let's end with the most important application of your life. It is life or death to you, this application. Are you a Christian or not? And do you know what makes a person a Christian? It is only one thing that makes a person a Christian. That one thing is belief in the Jesus Christ of the Bible. Nothing more, nothing less. Let me say that again. What makes us a Christian? What saves us from our sins and gives us eternal life is belief in Jesus Christ of the Jewish and Christian scriptures. For God so loved the world, that's you and me and everyone, that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him, Jesus, will not perish, will not go to hell, but will have eternal life. Oh Lord, I think a lot of people know that verse. I pray that you will make it come alive to all of us. Amen. My Lord, amen.